speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
I want us to talk about, for a little while, a focus on the family. The truth is that the family was God's created being to try to make this world a better place. It's where we start. It's where we get our foundation from. So this lesson is going to begin with the emphasis upon the importance of family. And this morning, what I'd like to do is to look at three very simple, basic concepts with you. The first one, in my judgment, is the most important thing that we're going to discuss this morning. And that is that God is the divine architect. And I want to talk about what an architect does and how that God has designed both the form and the function of the home. And then to talk about determined builders, people who are committed to the fact of making their homes what it ought to be. And then number three, to talk about delightful homes, something where it's a joy and a pleasure. Let's begin, first of all, with this idea of an architect. I don't know if you realize what an architect does, but an architect is a designer. I'm sure that many years ago, when this building was being thought of, that there were people who put it in their minds to say, we need someone to design us a church building that meets our needs. And I believe that I can sort of determine what that architect had in his mind. He probably was trying to maximize space. That's the reason why our classrooms open into the auditorium rather than having a hallway on the outside. An architect tries to consider the needs of that group and would say, for instance, we need an auditorium that'll seat 400 people. We need an auditorium that has 20-something classrooms in it. We need an auditorium that has a certain amount of lighting with it. You see, an architect plans, designs. He knows what the function of it's going to be. He knows what the form of it should follow. And God looks and says, this is what the home ought to be. And so God designs the form of it, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, children, the extended family. God knows how it should be. And if you and I are going to understand it properly, we're going to have to look at God's blueprint, how God intended the home to be. There are two verses that I'd like to introduce to you to begin our study. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God looked and he said, it's not good for man to be by himself. Man doesn't need to exist alone. Could God have designed an order, a function to say that here's a man, here's a man, here's a man, here's a man? Most certainly he could. But God realized that in his divine wisdom that there needed to be a complementary part to man. And so for that reason, we go to chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And they were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You see, God saw the need, the function of the home. And God saw man's need, and so what God did was he designed something to meet that need. And he designed something to function in that regard. And so a person is left to say, why did God do things the way he did? For instance, I look at this building and I try to figure out what the architect must have thought when he was drawing this building and designing it. why certain things were placed in certain locations. Some architects are better than others. Some see and are able to maximize and bring about the best things. But God is the perfect architect. He knows every need that you and I have, and He is able to address that. I want you to look at a very simple verse found in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that discusses the nurturing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ within the home of Joseph and Mary. Here's a home, and here's what it says about it. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. As I look at that verse, there are at least four aspects to it. One of the things is, you see, it met his intellectual needs. The fact that he needed something to know, to grow into, it met his social and psychological needs. The interaction with brothers, and Jesus did have brothers. It met his need of having family with him to have a social interaction. It met his physical needs. Let me, if you will, take just a few minutes and let's look at that a little more intently. Let's look first of all at his intellectual needs and our intellectual needs. And before I actually begin to look at the Scriptures, I want you to think about whom God placed in the role of providing the intellectual needs of a child. When a child is born into the family, he's introduced to a mother and a father who love him and care for him or her. That child will learn the majority of their moral behavior before they ever attend any school. Did you hear what I just said? Their moral behavior. They'll learn things of right and wrong. They will learn because their parents will instill within them a respect, instill within them honesty and integrity, instill within them the guidance of life. I want you to notice with me, parents must educate their children. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Those of you who are parents of small children, I'm talking about small children, understand what you're placing within them. Understand that you are teaching them right now whether or not going to church is important because you're here. You're going to teach them whether or not Sunday night and Wednesday night are important and Bible classes are important. Consider the fact that you're instilling with them a view toward mama and daddy. That your intellectual needs, you are training them right now, whether you realize it or not. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. You go to chapter 29 and verse 15, and there Solomon writes, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The rod, physical, corporal punishment, and rebuke bring wisdom. Parents, it is your responsibility in God's divine plan to guide the intellectual needs of your children. But what about the social and the psychological needs? Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God, that's spiritually, and with men. the interaction of knowing how to deal with people. And God's made man a social being, and the home fulfills that. When you're a husband, father, wife, mother, child, sibling, or even if you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, there's a role within the family. And our next lesson is going to deal more specifically with that. But let me just take one verse and draw your attention to that. Genesis 13 and verse 8. You have an uncle Abraham. You have a nephew Lot. And Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." We're brethren. You see, the social needs within the family, God intended to be fulfilled by mamas and daddies, brothers and sisters, and even aunts and uncles. You see, that was a part of God's plan. See, loneliness is a real problem. I don't know if many of you have thought about this. I know if you're a teenager, it probably doesn't even cross your mind. When you're in your 20s and your 30s, you think less about it, but maybe some. But as you get a parent who ages in life, loneliness is a real problem for them, especially those who've lost their spouses. And family fulfills that need. The Bible addresses this subject. For instance, in Psalms 25, verse 16, in the English Standard, a good translation on this verse, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." For a person to be by themselves and feel that no one else is with them surely produces a missing of people. But in Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. God sets. He puts them in families. That's the way God intended it. God intended that the widow, the widower, be attended to by the children, by the grandchildren, by the family. But the divine architect also saw that there were other needs for man. And those needs will involve the physical needs as well. God prepared not only that there would be parents who would provide for the physical needs for the rearing of the children. In other words, it's the man's responsibility to earn a living and provide for his children. Any will not provide for his own, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, 1 Timothy chapter 5. But God also saw that there were physical needs between a man and a woman the way he designed it, and he designed the home to fulfill that. Hebrews 13:4 said, "Marriage is honorable among all." But Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, Solomon would write, "Live joyfully with a wife whom you love all these days of your vain life, which He has given you under the sun, all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in labor which you perform under the sun." God gave it. He designed it. He's the architect of it. In Psalms 127, verses 3 and 4, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." God designed it this way. God planned it this way. That brings me very quickly to the second aspect. If I did nothing more than to get you to see that God designed it, that would be enough. But you see, once there is the design, somebody has to build it. I enjoy watching the television shows where homes are built. And I have observed that there's some people, in their minds, building is just anything that'll get by. On the other hand, I have seen people who are determined builders. There are people who take pride in their work, who say, I'm going to do the very best job that I can. Ordinary's not good enough. We need to be determined builders to build the home that God intended for us to be. We're not the architect. We're not the designer. We're the builder. Listen to Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The same could be said of men. But the passage that I want to key on for just a moment is found in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. In fact, I would suggest that you mark this verse in your Bible. In my estimation, it is probably one of the best passages about what you and I ought to be doing within our homes. Solomon said very briefly, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious and pleasant riches. There are three things that I want you to observe, and they're sort of stacked upon one another. Built by wisdom. You think of the original construction, wisdom is used. It is established by understanding. That phrase needs some further investigation. And then number three, it is filled by knowledge. Notice, built, established, and filled by wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Let's explore that for just a minute. Built by wisdom. And I think there's some essential elements here that need some taking note. God builds with wisdom. Anything that God constructs, He does so with pure wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. See those same two words there? By wisdom. You think about the job that God did in creating this earth. I don't have time to explore with you, but you think about the rain cycle. Think about the growth of the seed in the earth. God created this world remarkably. I mean, it's beyond our comprehension, all the greatness of it. Wisdom is also translated as skill or ability. Listen carefully to 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Happy are your men, and happy are your servants about whom you stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Notice with me just for a moment these two verses, or these three verses. This is the house he built by wisdom. But in building by wisdom, what did she see? She saw the food on his table. Solomon didn't just have a meager home. He had a beautiful spread. You think about the food that you enjoyed over the holidays, over the past couple of months. You think about the joy that was there, and that's what she saw, the food on the table. The seating of his servants, the service of the waiters, notice, and their apparel, the clothes they had, the cupbearers. That family enjoyed a great blessing because of the wisdom by which that house was built. Just want you to notice very briefly the last thing that is said in verse 5, though. And the entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Solomon had prepared and established his family in such a fashion that there was a way, a special way for him made to carry his family to worship. And then the observation of the Queen of Sheba in verse 8 says, "Happy are your men and happy are your servants." You want to have a happy family? You be determined to build your house with wisdom. Happy homes are built when family members skillfully work together, established by understanding. The word understanding is translated in the English Standard in several places by the word intelligence. The original King James translates the word discretion. Both of those ideas are in the original word. Intelligence, the use of the mind, the use of the intellect. Discretion, the ability to discriminate between good and bad. And then the word for established, the Hebrew dictionary says it means to be erect, to stand up perpendicular. And I thought when I was studying this, that's just like raising the walls on a house. You know, you have your flat foundation, but you erect your walls. That's what this means. The idea is you have a foundation, but now you're erecting your walls. You're building the house. And as you read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, I know the context is about the building of the church, but listen what Paul says. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it." Now listen carefully to that last phrase. "But let each one take heed how he builds on it." You think about what you're doing. If there's anything that I could communicate this morning as a determined builder, it would be this. Do you have in your mind, your intellect, your discretion, and intent to make your house what it ought to be? Not your house, your home. And then it's filled by knowledge. The figure here that Solomon is using is that of a person furnishing a house with furniture and decorations. And all of us know that our wives are much more attuned toward decorating a home than us men. But when you start thinking in a spiritual sense, and you start looking, 1 Peter 3:7, it's clear that husbands have a role. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives," or dwell with them, "with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered." You acknowledge her. Most of our homes would not be nearly as well decorated were it not for the sweet wives that understand the need to add some adornment to life. And the sweet wife that does that is not just the one who is physically decorated, but spiritually. Paul would say in 1 Timothy 2:9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, propriety, moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Very quickly, I'd like to just take this third part and tie it all together. There are places that are delightful to be and others that are not. Proverbs 23:24, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will take delight in him." One chapter, one verse later, 24:25, he says, "But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them." What he's talking about is a delightful home, a place where you want to be, a place where family is important. If the home is as it should be, then it'll be a place of delight And each of us have our role in making it a nice place, a delightful place. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Every one of us can work toward making our homes a better place. The home is a place of guidance, support, nurturing. It's a place, or should be a place, of happiness and joy. It's a place where children get the formation to become children of God. Some of you have decided this morning that just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you've made it your goal, your desire in life, to have a home that God would have you to have. Everyone should view it his responsibility to contribute to the family so that it will be what God wants it to be.